Hey guys, so after a strong demand, I am pumped to announce that this is our first episode as officially a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, not just on our website. Heck yes! We are listed under Self-Care Spotlight. So whether you've been a fan of this podcast or this is your first episode, if you love it, then it would mean the world to me if you would review this podcast so that we can continue to reach more like-minded souls, all dedicated to self-care and living their truth. Thank you so much for taking the time. Now, on to the show. Hey JD Tribe, and welcome to another episode of the Self-Care Spotlight brought to you by the Journal Deck, a 52-card deck where journal prompts meet oracle cards to bridge inspiration with action to help you live your best life full of self-care and personal growth, which is now available to shop at thejournaldeck.com/shop. I am your host and founder, Alyssa Cousins, and today we have Bianca Filiteo. After being told by doctors that her rare skin disease was incurable and that medication would be used for the rest of her life, Bianca decided to take matters into her own hands and discover the true meaning of health along the way. She left her career as a film and television actress and is now a certified transformational nutrition coach and intuitive astrologer, where she blends her passions for wellness and astrology by empowering others to transform their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And with that, I bring you Bianca.
Awesome. Hi, everyone. So happy to be here. Thank you, Alyssa.
You're so welcome. I am really excited to have this conversation today. Bianca and I, it's the Instagram thing. That's the story, I think.
Or yeah, that's what I can think of, too.
Is it? Yeah. We were both into the Desire Map worlds.
Yes, it was that.
That
yes.
was a thing. I don't do that anymore. I was a facilitator for it. I'm not now because obviously I've, like, done a million other things.
Yeah.
that can't do that. I can't do that, too. So, yeah, Desire Map Guides by Danielle Laporte. It is a fantastic book. She has lots of good stuff. But, yeah, I'll put that in the show notes for those of you that are like, ooh, that sounds interesting. It is. It's a book and a whole other brand, essentially, by Danielle Laporte, one of my favorite authors. I've referenced her so many times. But Bianca and I both kind of have a mutual love of, I think, all things Danielle Laporte.
Yeah, that's safe to
say. Yeah, that is really fair to say that. So that's how we kind of know each other in that little world. And today I'm really geeked because we're going to talk about something that I know women just go crazy about, and they just eat up this subject. They want to dive in, like they want to know everything about the moon. Right? Like moon signs and how do you live by the moon and moon cycling and like so much. And the moon. People, women, it feels like nowadays, we just had like this solar eclipse, right? And Bianca did a guest blog post on that and everyone seemed like they really enjoyed that. We got a lot of hits on that blog post. So people were reading it and, you know, that was really the moon like taking center stage, right? So it seems like this is a hot topic, and I want Bianca to talk a little bit about not only her self-care, but also how that ties into her passion for astrology and the moon. So that's kind of where the conversation is going today. So Bianca, before we get into that, I want to ask you a question that I ask everyone on this podcast, since this is all about self-care. I would love to know, what does self-care mean to you?
Yeah, so this self-care, I can pretty much list a whole bunch of different words for this one term, but I think it all comes down to just putting the focus back on our own well-being. Like, that is what it means to me. And most of the time, I have to admit, I get so caught up in the everyday things or, you know, other people, my relationships, my work, all that stuff. And sometimes, yeah, I do neglect taking care of myself, and our bodies will give us signs that it's begging for attention. It's begging for some nourishment. Mm-hmm. So it's really all about, yeah, just putting that focus back on us. And some people will call it selfish. I don't, especially if we've been neglecting ourselves for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in your past, you know, you talked about having this dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go into that a little bit? What's that?
Yeah. So basically, a couple of years ago, I think it was in 2011, I had this mysterious, like, lesion, little lump on my lip, and no one knew what it was. People thought, I don't know if it was like, it wasn't a zit, but it just kept growing. So I think originally I was actually diagnosed with a certain type of lymphoma. So that word just like scared mm-hmm. crap out of me. And then I was like, oh no, do I have cancer? Oh my gosh, holy crap. So from there, I kind of just went into research mode. My moon is in Virgo, heads up. So Virgo, my Virgo moon is very analytical and detail oriented. It'll just keep going. I Google a lot, like mm-hmm. anything, anywhere, I'll Google it. I looked at, okay, what cures cancer? So I started from there. And then from that point, I realized that there's a lot of things in the whole medical community that, you know, I just didn't agree with. So that's when I kind of steered into the whole holistic health and alternative health world. And after that, I got diagnosed again. Luckily that I don't have that type of lymphoma. The skin condition that I have, it can lead into that type of lymphoma randomly. That's air quotes, I guess. You can't really see my fingers doing the air quote sign. but basically, he told me that this skin disease that I had, there's no cure for it. There's no way to prevent it because it just randomly happens. And I wouldn't take that for an answer. So that was me being stubborn. So from there, I just took it upon myself to just, I knew that our bodies are very intelligent. And if we are doing things that, you know, neglect it, it's gonna give us some signs, whether it's pain, whether it's a headache, whether it's, I don't know, the lesions that I have on my skin. So that's kind of how I stumbled into the whole self-care thing and got into alternative healing. And definitely I've learned astrology since high school. So I think because of my illness, it got me really into that whole self-awareness, self-discovery mode, and just soaked up everything I can think of or that came at me just to like figure this out mm-hmm. in a way.
Right. And it's so interesting because, you know, I didn't know you had a background in acting.
Yes, and I loved it. And at first it was kind of hard to step away from it, but I knew that, I don't know, after a lot of journaling, after a lot of, you know, self-reflection, I realized it was one of the things I had to let go. And I'm still creative and I still find ways where I can, you know, whatever I did in my acting career, I can still infuse that in my work. And I do, especially in my coaching. Mm-hmm. But it made me realize that there was something much more that I was supposed to be going into. So it kind of all made sense. At the moment, it was like, oh my God, I can't go to auditions. I can't do this and that because of my health, like poor me. But it's actually like a wake-up call, if anything. Anything that's related to your health, it's definitely a wake-up call and asking you to just be more reflective and assess, mm-hmm. like, what, you know, what's happening in your life and are you happy? Like, what's going on? And
so why was the answer, after all the reflection, that you had to walk away from something that you really liked?
I think for me, it was definitely, like, I love doing it. But there was, I feel like maybe I was in it for the wrong reasons. I don't even know. Like, there were other things that were calling my attention, and those other things kind of made me realize that the acting part wasn't as important. And for me, what my main goal, I guess, in life is to just figure out how can I impact others to the best of my ability and the way I can do it. And I thought it was acting, because storytelling, you can reach millions of people through that. But yeah, there's some things about the industry that I didn't really like, and I just didn't have the patience for, and especially the treatment of like women and minorities and all that stuff. So it was just like, well, if I wanted to be a storyteller, I can do it on my own, or I can, you know, collaborate with other individuals. It doesn't have to be through the typical Hollywood timeline. Or
so it was more or less like, maybe it's, to me, it sounds like a values.
Yes, it is. And for me, I love that acting and, you know, movies and everything we see in the media in terms of storytelling can be very healing. But I knew that, one, there's this innate healer in me, but it wouldn't be good doing it through acting. That wasn't my way. And then it wasn't until I definitely went through my entire chart that it all kind of made sense, like going through all those planets and the houses and everything. So I can see where the acting component played in, but then I can also see where the healing component is and what that entails. So yeah, so it kind of just like started to click gradually as I just kept going. But yeah, it definitely was a journey.
So I definitely can see how you got into the astrology then, you know, being pulled in, like you said, that self-discovery, like figuring things out, that deeper awareness. I get it. I don't claim to at all be like a professional knowing everything about astrology, which is totally why I asked you to write a blog about the solar eclipse, because I was like, well, I better just get like a astrology junkie on here to really actually talk about this. So I would love to kind of know, okay, so we have our, you know, you already mentioned, well, my moon is in Virgo, and I looked at my charts, and I think that there's, we know, like, I say we as in, I think, just general public. We know my horoscope, you know, we know my sun sign, that's like base level, surface level. And then you start going into, it's like an onion, you can peel back like all these layers, and my moon, and what is my, I don't know, my ascendant rising, or like all of these things.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I can spend hours and days and weeks just on one chart alone. But I mean, yes, that's true. Like most of the time we only know of our sun sign. One, because it's just in general, it's basic, it's a lot easier. And in the horoscopes that you find in magazines or newspapers or blogs, they tell you to look for your sun sign, but it's actually when they write those horoscopes, it's more for your ascendant or your rising sign. So that's the thing. When I meet people, I'm like, look at your ascendant or rising sign as well, because that's kind of another way, that's the other sign that you need to look for. Because most people are like, I'm not my sun sign. Like, I'm not a Gemini. I don't feel like a Gemini.
I've heard that. I have. And I don't ever, I actually feel like a Leo. I do. I think I even look like one, honestly. I have a mane. I mean, like, my hair is ridiculous long. It's a mane. So I hear people say that, though. I don't feel like my sign.
Yeah, and that's because we all have these 12 signs in us. That's why when I give people their birth chart, you see in the wheel that there's all the signs there. It's just certain signs are much more stronger with the energy. So, I mean, for me, I'm a Sagittarius, but my moon is in Virgo, so I have that earth and fire energy with me. But I'm actually like, I have a lot of planets in Sagittarius, so I'm more fire, if anything. But I have friends who are, oh, look, who can I have an Some of them, they have, like, their sun sign in, say, a water sign. But most of their planets are actually in a fire sign. So they're actually more fiery. So they're going to be like, oh, I don't feel like a Cancer. And maybe not, because they have their moon in Aries and their Mercury in Leo or something like that. So, and I mean, briefly looking at your chart, Alyssa, you just have one, your sun is in Leo. So that's a fire sign. But you actually have more planets in Earth signs.
Oh, really?
So you have your moon in the Earth sign, you have Mars, Mercury, Saturn. You have most of your planets in Earth signs. So there's that balance with you, with the sun and the Earth energies.
That's interesting. Because I do feel like a Leo. I mean, I do.
Your sun is there, right? So the sun is like the biggest planet. So definitely you're going to feel that. But there's going to be other energies tied around that. And your rising sign or your ascendant is in Libra. So when we say the ascendant or the rising sign, it's basically the first impression that you give to others. And it can also mean physical characteristics as well. But usually it's just the first impression that you give off of.
So is a Libra, what is that? Earth?
Libra is an air sign. It's a sign of art and beauty and peace and harmony. It does not like conflict. It's the opposite of Aries.
That's true.
So you're going to be the one that's always trying to keep the peace, you know.
Yeah.
You're maybe a good mediator.
Yes.
Trying to make everyone, like, the shadow side would be people pleasing, but you're always just wanting everyone to get along.
This is true.
Yeah, so that's Libra.
That's interesting. I didn't know that about the ascendant and the rising. That's the first impression that actually, I think a lot of people will be like, oh, okay, I've heard that, but I didn't know what it meant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so people, it's the ascendant, but most of the time I say rising sign, but either or. So there's that. And I mean, for some people, their rising sign could be the same as their sun sign. Like for me, for instance, I'm a Sagittarius sun, and I am also Sagittarius rising. So I have a lot of planets in that first house. But so that's why some people, when you see them, they'll later tell you their sign. But you're like, oh, I wouldn't have thought that. And that's because most of the time, everyone has a different rising sign. So when people ask me, oh, can you tell someone by their sign? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Sun sign or rising sign? So there's that. So basically, astrologers, we mentioned the rising sign, your sun sign, and your moon sign as the, I guess, like the holy trinity, I guess, in terms of your personality. There's definitely other planets in play as well, but those are the three that we usually focus on most because they impact you the most. That's what we see usually. So your sun sign is how you do things. It's your personality. It's your core. But your moon sign is how you react to things. It's your emotions. It's your emotional needs. So most of the time, you're not aware of your moon sign. But so, yeah. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So it's like the sun sign personality, like, is that more action oriented? And then the moon sign is
doing.
Okay. And the moon is just how you actually react to what's happening.
Yeah, and it's like the being. So it's like yin and yang, right? So it's those two, like light and dark kind of thing. So the sun, so in terms of those yin and yang energies, so earth and water would be yang. So any of the earth signs or the water signs, they're more receptive. It's more of like a feminine energy of receiving. And so the sun, actually, so fire and air signs, those are more of the yang energy, so more active in terms of, they're definitely more high energy. They're out there to do things. So that's the difference. And some people, they're going to have these energies mixed, and some they're going to have like a more yin nature or a more yang nature. So balancing all these masculine and feminine energies. Mm-hmm.
It really does make sense. I mean, just even listening to you talk, because I always have said, I feel like I'm just this whole big paradox. Like I always have this fascination with soft and fierce. And it makes sense to me even listening to you saying, oh, well, you know, you have this, yeah, you have the Leo and that's fiery and masculine energy, but then you have, you know, your moon, which is more feminine energy, earth, like grounding, emotion, like you have that side to you and how you react to things, the yin. And that makes just a lot of sense to me, because it is the balance, right? Like, so that just feels like it's clicking in my brain. And then when you said about the Libra and the air, that that's how maybe people perceive you, I often have people say those kinds of descriptions when they first meet me. So that does, like, it all is just like, ding, ding, ding.
Exactly. And that's what I love about diving into people's charts, because it's not that I'm predicting the future or anything like that. It's just reconnecting them to, like, what's already within them that they might not even know why. Like, why am I a walking contradiction? Or why am I so angry when it comes to these things? I mean, if someone has a moon in Aries, that's definitely one of the signs that you're going to – emotions are going to be a roller coaster for you. Because Aries is already, you know, a fiery sign. So when you blend that with – emotions, it just means you get angry a lot easier than others, but you also get over things easier too, because Aries is a sign that just, you know, it's a go, it just moves on to the next thing. There to conquer. So
interesting. So yeah, I love, because I was reading about the Taurus that my moon is in, and I was reading, like, what does that mean, you know, if your moon is in, it said, like, you're very mellow, like you're pretty chill. And I was like, yep, that's me. That is very my. And then you said the Libra, the mediator. I'm like, yeah, okay, this just all makes so much sense. It really is very cool, because it's new information for me. Like so many people, I've been very, like, sun sign oriented. So this is cool. I think people will really, really be – I think they're going to, like, take notes
on this. Yes, and they should, because, I mean, the moon sign, it's our emotions. So that's – I look for that for self-care, because we need to have – that emotional nourishment as well, right. And we neglect that. So, I mean, like, your moon in Taurus, yes, definitely super chill. Taurus is definitely that sign, and it likes to go on its own pace. It does not like being rushed. So it's there to just, Taurus is the sign of pleasure and sensuality, so it's very in tune with the five senses. So if you can incorporate that into your self-care routine, that'll be really nurturing for you.
Interesting. Yeah. Ooh, see, that whole topic right there, just what you said, that little nugget. Okay, so, like, you know, can you kind of explain, like, okay, if I know my moon sign, or I know my sun sign, how can you explain that in terms of, okay, so can you have a moon, like, in a fire sign?
Yeah, you can have a moon in any
sign. Signs. Okay, yeah. So say if you have, like, a moon in a fire sign, as an example, like, how would you approach self-care then, as an example?
Yeah, so for the fire signs, so what we know about them is that they're full of energy, they're vibrant, they're go, they are nonstop, they have the most energy out of all the different signs, right? So for an Aries moon, their self-care, Aries is very physical, it represents the physical body, so exercise is going to be really important if your moon is an Aries, and there's going to, as I mentioned, the whole anger and irritability, that comes easiest to them. So they're going to have to figure out, okay, how can I deal with this emotional anger or irritation that keeps popping up, right? So it depends. Like, that's the thing. You use your intuition. Like, okay, if I'm always angry, what can I do? Will meditation work? Will yoga work? Physical exercise will definitely be, like, great, just because Aries is that very physical in nature. Okay. But so if someone has their moon in Leo, for instance,
another fire.
Yeah. Another fire. Leo is very, it's like a warm, it's very charming, it's very magnetic, but it's also like the sign of the lion. So the issue here is pride. So in terms of Leo, sometimes if you have a Leo moon, your pride gets in the way and you don't like asking for help. Like, you don't want other people to see you weak or needy or unhappy because you have this, the whole pride of, oh yeah, I have to look good to other people. Like, I have to be well-kept, or I have to present this image that everything is great.
Super cool.
Super cool. And Leo is the sign of performers and artists. A lot of celebrities have Leo.
Yeah.
Right? So if your moon is in Leo, you may be actually really good in, you know, acting or singing or dance, like any of the performing arts.
Or if you're fire, or if your sun is in Leo as well, right?
Yeah, sun in Leo either. As well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but if your moon is in Leo, definitely your emotions are going to be like that as well. So it really means, yeah, just keeping your, not being so, I guess, egotistical, but like your ego is going to get in the way,
right,
in terms
of asking. Okay, this is really cool. I think people will dig this. Can we just run through the other three elements then really quickly, like a brief overview of like, how could I practice self-care? So we just did fire. So if my moon is in, let's go with air. If my moon is an air sign, maybe how should I be approaching self-care in general?
Yeah, so air signs in general, they're very intellectual, they're social, great conversationalists, they love to chat and talk, they have so much ideas. So self-care for air signs would actually be more of like a mental health, emotional health check. So people are prone to maybe like anxious thoughts or criticism. So it's really just turning off technology. And I think for Gemini is really a talker. So if your moon is in Gemini, having written out affirmations or something like that would be really, really helpful. But it's really just getting out of your head.
Okay. Basically. So that's air.
All those, yeah.
So that makes sense. Air thoughts. That makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's fire. That's air. Okay. Water. Let's go water. If my moon, because we're kind of equating, right, that moon is your moon sign. Is that generally more about, like, I would say the self-care related of the two rather than the sun? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you could still use your sun sign because it's part of you, but I generally look to the moon first because...
For the self-care.
Yeah, and it's unconscious, right? So it's like, we don't even think about it. Like,
okay.
We don't put enough attention to it. So if your moon sign is in Cancer or Scorpio or Pisces, so these signs are very sensitive, creative, emotional, compassionate, lots of empathy. So for this, for water signs, the big thing here is boundaries. They're very selfless. So they're always, you know, especially for Cancer and Pisces, they are very giving, and their tendency is to overgive and over-nurture others, that they neglect taking care of themselves. So they're going to burn out, or maybe they're going to have some resentment because they're taking care of all these people and they're not, you know, receiving anything back. So for them, it's definitely boundaries. Meditation and yoga would be great, but it really is maybe just solitude time, just like taking it back to yourself, go on retreat. But boundaries is the main issue. That's basically learning to separate.
Wow. Because I'm
to say no.
I'm literally thinking of someone right now who is a water sign, and this is her so much. Granted, this is in her sun sign. She's a water, but even though that is, wow, like, I literally have had this conversation with her, like, about the boundaries and knowing how to, like, be with yourself and stop trying to give to others, and how hard she finds it to just not give and just be alone, and that solitude that you're talking about, like, it feels scary to her.
Yes, exactly. That's definitely true. The boundaries issue is probably the biggest for Pisces out of the water signs.
And she's a Pisces.
Yeah, there you go. I had a feeling. I was like, the Pisces that I do know, they're the most, like, selfless, loving, compassionate people that I've met. But that is what I notice. I'm like, look, we had to draw boundaries, especially in relationships. Like, that is a big deal.
Okay, last one would be Earth.
Yeah, so Earth signs, they're very practical, dependable, loyal. I think for Earth, I mean, it depends, because I mean, with Virgo, it's definitely mental clutter or mental anxiety, because Moon in Virgo, it's Virgo is a perfectionistic sign, so it's very self-critical on itself or even others. So there, it's just like learning that to let go with Virgo. And then with Capricorn, Moon in Capricorn, they are super ambitious. They want to get to the top. A lot of leaders or politicians, they have either Sun in Capricorn or Moon in Capricorn. But they are so ambitious that they will work until they get to the top. So there's that, you got to figure out, okay, how can I balance work and play? Or how can I just remember to put focus back on myself and not define myself with my work? And then with Taurus, it's a little different, because Taurus, Moon and Taurus, they're totally cool. Like they're pretty good with balance. Their thing is more about the fine line between self-care and self-indulgence, because they are that sensual pleasure type of sign. So if they're not careful, they can just overindulge in too many things.
I'm like thinking of myself. Like chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. It could be anything. It could be chocolate. It could be food. It could be, I don't know, technology. It could be, you can overindulge in.
Yeah, like get consumed in something.
Yeah, because, I mean, Taurus is pretty, the moon likes it being in Taurus, and Libra, I think. Moon, yeah, and Cancer. So those are the three signs the moon loves being in. So in those signs, it's not really that much of a contradiction, or you don't feel so stressed out about your sun sign and your moon sign being pulled apart. But yeah, and Moon and Taurus is a great position.
And you did say about like bringing in the five senses if you have an earth moon.
Yes, exactly, because it's very practical, right? And down to earth. So just anything with, whether it's, you know, earth signs are great for seeing like a naturopath or any holistic practitioners, body work or even acupuncture. Trying to think what else, but yeah, just anything to just get back into your body as well.
Do you think it's fair to say that whether you have a sun sign or a moon sign, do you think it's a fair statement to say, you know, water signs generally like water, or people who have a moon and an earth sign really should try to connect with being outdoors? Like, are those fair statements?
Yeah, those are fair. Yeah, whether it's your sun or your moon. But yeah, in terms of self-care, if your moon sign is definitely one of those, definitely like Leo, if your moon is in Leo, being out in the sun will be very, very satisfying for you.
Yeah, right. I always say, like, I am a Leo sun sign, and I always say I, like, live by the sun.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I'm born in the summer, and I am born for the sun. Absolutely. There you go. Yeah, but at the same time, I've always kind of had this fascination. I love being outside, but I'm not, like, a total nature girl. But I think that that is maybe the balance there of, like, the moon being in Taurus. But I don't know. I'm not like 100% nature girl. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, you don't have to be just because your moon, or I know you're very earthy, like in terms of your chart, but you have other like planets in other areas as well, right?
Right.
So it doesn't have to, I mean, because like I'm a Sagittarius, and Sagittarius has to be out roaming the world and outdoors and in nature. And I like nature too, but I'm not hardcore. I'm not a hardcore nature person. I express that Sagittarius sign differently, even though I have so many planets there. So, I mean, yeah, so it's really, there's a lot of different sides to each sign. So it really depends on, you know, that's why with my clients, I usually tell them, like, this sign is about this and this and this. And they're like, oh, that sticks with me.
So is that how I had a brief reading done with someone who did astrology, and she looked at my chart and she was saying, like, oh, I think family is big for you right now. And I think that, like, next year, you know, relationships, something is, you know, wait to do anything big with relationships until next year. Mm-hmm. How are they guesstimating that? I don't under, if they're not necessarily telling the future, I kind of always wondered, like, how, what are they looking to that's telling them these things about your money or your relationships or your love life or your career? Like, where, if they're not telling the future, like, where is that, just the planet involved? Like, what is that coming from?
Yeah, because I mean, there's this thing called like the ephemeris, and it basically tells you the, for the next year or two, you can look it up, but each planet, it'll tell you where it goes through each sign and when that'll be and stuff like that. So the moon changes signs every 2.5 days, the sun changes signs every, you know, like 20, 30 days and stuff like that. So each planet will go through each sign in their own time. So the moon is probably very fast. So like right now, for instance, Mercury is in Virgo and Mars just got into Virgo. So, but in a couple of weeks, they're going to go to the next sign, which is Libra. So all planets are always changing signs, maybe not as fast as others, but that's kind of how they read it. So in terms of, oh, how do you know when love is going to be great or something like that? You kind of just like look to your birth chart. So, I mean, right now, if I were to look at your chart, let's see where your Virgo is. So you have Virgo in your 12th house. And the 12th house is your subconscious. It's your, the house of dreams. It's the house of imagination. It's the house of everything that's hidden. So it's a very, like, a, it's the house of solitude, basically. So it's very reflective. So if the planets, Mercury and Mars are there right now, so for you personally, the two planets of Mercury and Mars will be in that house. So that's going to be more prominent for you. So that's kind of just how they, how astrologers would figure out, like, oh yeah, in terms of not predicting the future, but they'll give you times of like, okay, oh yeah, this might be a good time to do this, or this might be a good time to do that.
So are you telling me right now I need to take solitude? and dream?
You don't need to, but it's like, it's, you might be in a more reflective, you're going to be in a more yin state, or it would be great if you did, if you prioritize that. You don't have to, you could still hustle, but it might not be as easy.
I love that. Oh, it's just fascinating. Like, you could just, I get why people like can get lost in this. It's like almost designing your life.
It is. And there's like, when I look at people's charts, they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm kind of unhappy with my job or whatever. And I can look for clues in the chart of like, there's this thing called midheaven, which is like your, I guess, your career or vocation. Like that's going to be the most fulfilling for you. Or your north node, which is like the mission you have in this lifetime and stuff like that. Or your second house of, you know, money, like how can you possibly earn income and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things you can kind of pick apart and just analyze. But as my goal with my clients, I'm not there to tell them, oh yeah, you should do this or you should do that. I just tell them, this is what I see in your chart. Like, what resonates with you? What is, what's your intuition telling you, like, to move towards to right now as I tell you this? And it's I love like the light bulbs kind of lighting up in their head as I, you know, as I mention these things, because some, it resonates with them, and some are like, oh yeah, I haven't even thought of that, maybe that kind of makes sense, or something like that.
Yeah, really, really cool. Very fast. Thank you for that explanation.
No problem. And right now your moon is in your sixth house, which is Pisces. So today would be like a great time to, or the next 2 days, I guess. Your sixth house is your house of work, is your house of like everyday tasks, and it's the house of health. So prioritizing your health right now would be great. Or even just like doing things around like the house, or not actually the house, but yeah, just like your everyday tasks.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Did you, but I have to ask, did you just get into this? Like, you learned a lot of it on your own, or did you take a class?
I started, it was funny because I had this, I think it started either end of high school or like early university, and I bought like an astrology book for teens. It was about like love matches and all that stuff. So it kind of started from there. And then since then, I've just been reading, I've been self-taught, like any astrology book or resource I found, I just read up on it, and I would, you know, think about my family and my friends, and I just ask them for, you know, their sun sign or something like that, and just figure it out. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I was like, oh yeah, that is them. That's true. And they wouldn't believe me. And I was like, all right, whatever. But the more I dove deep into it, I took a few little courses here and there, for certain like topics, but I haven't had like formal education.
Yeah. So it's mostly just tinkering on your own.
Yeah, and basically experimenting, but like applying it. Whatever I learned, I would apply it to my life. So if I read something about Leos, I'd be like, who do I know is a Leo? And I get along with naturally with fire signs. So like, right. My closest friends are like Aries and Leo and Sagittarius. So that I
know. And me.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. So I mean, so there's that. So I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, in terms of like relationships, people would ask me about relationships and compatibility. And, you know, most of the time, everything out there is usually just your sun sign. Are your sun signs compatible and stuff like that? But I also look to the moon for that as well.
Oh boy, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, because it's your emotions, right?
Yeah, relationships.
Sun signs are great for friendships for sure, and that's every relationship. You got to be like, it's good if you have a good friendship too, right? But yeah, just because I mean, with me and my partner right now, like, on paper, he's a Virgo and I'm a Sagittarius, and that usually will clash the sun signs, but our moon signs are pretty compatible. So it's just like, oh, okay. So that kind of explains things.
I feel like, yeah. I could literally have you on like once a month to talk about something to do with astrology.
Yeah, we could. Whatever's happening. Oh man,
that would be really cool. Actually, that side thought, that'd be really cool, because I literally am like, oh well, I want to know more about the relationships, and you know, that's a whole other can of worms. Like, how does that fit in, and what's going on? All right, well, we'll have to think about that.
Yeah, there's lots of things.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Yes. Like Astrology Friday, or I don't know, something cool.
Yeah, something like, yeah, we could talk about that.
All right. Side thought. Put that, we'll shelve that for right now. We'll come back to it. Okay, so I can obviously tell that self-care, you kind of pull astrology into your self-care to guide you. Is there another tip, a favorite ritual or something, a practice that you do that you could like tell listeners, like, this is one of my favorite things to do? Like, what else would that be besides the astrology guiding you? Is there something else? Like a self-care practice or ritual or a tip, something that you do every day?
Yeah, well, for me, I don't do it every day, but I try to. It's definitely just journaling. It's just writing things down.
Perfect.
That is, especially if your moon is in Virgo.
Yeah.
Or
so
an air sign or anything like that. I think it's just getting out of that mental chatter. Mm-hmm. You have no idea, and like, especially like if you think you don't have the money to afford a coach or a therapist or something like that. Like, talk to yourself, like, write it down and have a conversation with yourself. There's a lot of healing that can be done by talking to you.
Yeah. Would you say you journal every day? Is it like just kind of whenever you feel?
I usually try to do it every day. Sometimes I don't. And actually, I've kind of upgraded or leveled up my journaling the past year or two. I'll try to explain it. It gets a little complicated, but hopefully not. So before I write, I write the date, but I also write the moon phase that we're in so far. So like today, if I journaled, I'd be like, oh yeah, waxing moon in Pisces. That would put that. But I also put my, like, what day of my cycle I'm in as well.
That's so great. I need to be doing that.
Yeah, just so that, because, like, when I look back, I'm like, oh, my gosh, why was I like that? Oh, because it was either because I was on X day of my cycle, or it was because the moon was in this, and it just, there's just, like, little indicators of that. So it's just like, oh, yeah, no wonder, or, yeah, so it's like, oh, yeah, day one of my cycle, yep, I'm feeling really, like, crabby right now, cannot get up, or whatever, or if it's, like, the new moon or the full moon. So it's just a good indicator for me to figure out what's happening as well, cosmically.
Right. I love that journaling practice. Guys, I would really steal that one.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could, like, are you able to, so I guess at any time you can't really look up, can you look up at any time what, is it what your moon is in or what the moon is in?
So you have your own moon sign, but right now we can look up, so right now the moon is in Pisces.
So is that what you're writing down? Like,
yeah,
general
so
speaking?
In my journal,
yeah.
Yeah, so in my journal I put the day, what the moon sign is of that day.
Okay, and like, so, do I, like, where do I even find that?
Yeah, you can look it up, let's see.
Like, where do I, if I put that in show notes, like, where am I telling people to go?
Yeah, you can go to, like, astro.com, they usually have, like, a sidebar or something of, like, the daily, what's the day, like, where the planets are for the day.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes so people can, like, if they want to implement that into their journaling practice, because I think that that's insightful. That's cool. Put that
in. Yeah, so astro.com or any other astrology site where it'll say, like, current planets, and it'll be, like, sun is in Virgo right now, moon is in Pisces, so you can track that. So, yeah, so, like, once, so the moon changes, it's basically in the same sign for about 2 days at
right.
least.
Right, and in terms of tracking cycle, girls, you're on your own out there. You kind of have to figure that one out. By yourself,
yeah.
That's like literally dependent on you as a person. You have to track which stage of your period that you're on, whether it's luteal or, you know, follicular, all the different fun things. So that's on you for that one. You got to figure that out.
That one, I don't even get too. I just keep it simple. I'd be like day one, day two.
Okay, day three, okay.
Four. And until,
I know,
like,
some people go, like, they're like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm in, like, luteal phase right now.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, that means this.
Yeah.
Because that means, like, that literally is, like, a whole other thing. Like, if I'm in my luteal phase, like, I'm most likely feeling this way, or I'm getting a little more introverted and things like that. Like, versus if I'm ovulating, I want, you know, schedule your meetings and put yourself out there. And
oh, yes. Okay. So I kind of do that, but I don't do, like, luteal phase. I think one resource I do recommend, this is how I started it, is this health coach, her name's Claire Baker, and she wrote this book called Adore Your Cycle. And so I got that, and that's kind of how I tweaked my journal system. So basically when I put day one, day two, I put right beside it what season I'm in. So in her ebook, it's like day one to seven is your, like, your winter phase. So I'll be like, winter, day one.
Yes.
Winter, day two.
Oh, so many things.
Exactly. So I'm in the hang of it. I don't even see it as a, like, at the first, I'm
right.
like, oh my gosh, like, what's happened? But I've been doing it for, like, a year now. So it's just
cool.
Like, okay, like, right now I'm in spring. So it's like spring, day 17. Awesome. And now I know that, like, spring and summer are, like, my
social action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then once I'm, like, winter or autumn and winter, it's just like, okay, I know not to, like, schedule too many things and try to, you know, work away. If I can reschedule things, I would.
Right.
But that's also the moon as well.
I was going to say.
Moon cycle.
Mm-hmm. So, oh boy. That's, yeah. Again, this is why we need to have a continuing conversation, because the moon, you can do, it's in sync with your period and your cycle because it has its own cycles. And I know where you're going with that, girlfriend. And we just don't even have time for one episode. I know. It's like the full moon means this, and the waxing and the waning, and I know.
But I mean, that just goes to show you that, like, we've been so kind of, like, lost out of touch with the moon. They don't teach this to us.
Right.
Even, it doesn't have to be astrology, but just our own moon cycles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I got out of it. So, like, we have to honor our moon as well, not just our sun sign. Like, there's right. a lot of healing that can be done, even if you don't know all of these things. If you can just take one thing from what we talked about today and just focus on that for the next 30 days or something.
Right. Like, yeah. Cool. Well, like I said, I think that me and you will talk. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what we can. I have a feeling people are really going to dig this. So we will.
So.
Yeah. People freaking love astrology. So yeah, I think that they're going to totally dig it. All right. But let's get to some rapid fire questions, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So first thing that comes to your mind, if you had to describe self-care in one word or feeling, it would be?
Nourishment.
Oh, one of my favorite words.
Yeah.
Yes. Yay. Okay. In terms of self-care, I could be better at?
Time management.
Oh, good one. Yeah. My favorite form of self-care movement or exercise is?
Yoga.
If I never had to do this again, it would be?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. I want to say cleaning, but I actually like cleaning. Oh God, that's the moon in Virgo. Mm-hmm. If I had to drive, I guess. Drive.
Oh wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I like walking or, yeah.
Interesting. All right, I ask everyone this question. Milk chocolate or dark chocolate? Or not really into chocolate?
Oh, dark chocolate, for sure.
Okay, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, last fun one here. I think you're going to really like this one, but it might be hard. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite moon phase?
Oh, I'm going to say autumn, which is...
waning.
Waning.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And I actually, I like it because after reading Claire Baker's book, so I like all the moon phases, obviously, but autumn is like, that is the wild woman phase. Like, that is when we're so in touch with our emotions, but it's misleading because everyone thinks we're crazy at that time. But when it's waning, I don't know, I get like my deepest insights and I write a lot more during
right.
that time.
Oh, yeah, because it's like... the maiden, right? What is it? The
maiden, mother.
Wild woman, crone?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because then that makes sense. Spring, summer, right? And then like fall would be then the wild woman, right? And then winter would be the crone.
True. Yep.
Okay. And again, that's a whole other discussion. We just keep breaking it down here, Bianca.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're just like gonna overload everyone and they're gonna be like,
No, exactly.
Just one thing at a time. Okay, so today we focused on self-care and your moon phase / sun sign. That's step one. Okay, this was really fun. Thank you so much for doing this. I want you to tell everybody, where can they find you? So if they want to connect or if they want to have you do your birth, I think that you do the birth charts. Are the birth charts thing that's like free, like the little download that you sent me?
Yeah, that's just like your photo. The birth chart I gave you, you can get on astro.com if you want. I usually do the readings, so I help you interpret that birth chart.
Okay, so if I wanted to... set up some kind of working with you, like how do I get in touch with you? Where do I go? Tell me.
Yeah, just go to biancafiloteo.com or you can follow me on Instagram. My website link is there. It's under construction right now, but I am working with a client. So just shoot me an email, info@biancafiloteo.com. And if you have any questions or inquiries, we can chat. So...
okay, and you do what they call astrological consultations?
Yeah, I just simply call them readings. But it is kind of a hybrid of like consults and coaching because I just can't help but do that.
Right. It's like you said, it's like a little healer inside of you, helping people.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. This was super fun. And like I said, people are going to totally dig it. Thank you.
Thank you. It was such a blast.
All right, guys, that is a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Self-Care Spotlight brought to you by The Journal Deck, which you can shop for at thejournaldeck.com/shop. And if this podcast moved you in some way, I kindly ask you to share it or review it or do both if you're super awesome so that we can continue our mission of spreading self-care and truth. Your love and attention means the world to me. Until next time, I am Alyssa Cousins signing off for The Journal Deck. Mwah. Music by Lee Rosevere.